come up with great skill from him to wing the Mo Salah! Raheem Sterling! What a finish! What pure class from the Englishman!
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of Premier Talk. This is episode 7. We're going to call this one the UCL clean sweep, and for good reason. I'm one of your two hosts, Andrew Mello, and alongside with me as always is Daniel B. Daniel Barbudo, how's it going, bro?
Andrew, I'm doing great. How are you?
It's midterm season, you know, just a bunch of tests for scoring now. Super busy with assignments, so we're trying to squeeze in this episode, and we got a really good one today.
Mm-hmm. Of course, as always.
All right, so we're going to go into the starting lineup here. To start off, we got Match Day 28 recap.
We're going to do our Champions League recap.
And then we just love these fan questions. So we got the fan Q&A up on the IG, you know, and we got a bunch of people asking questions. Some really good ones too. So we're going to dive into that towards the latter stages of this episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to kick us off right now with our Match Day 27 recap. Sorry, 28 recap. We got Friday, March 12th, Newcastle versus Aston Villa. This one ended in a 1-1 draw. We got Kieran Clark. He scored an own goal in the 86th. Looked like it was all over for Newcastle. And then Jamal Lascelles, he equalized in the 94th minute, and it ended in a draw.
Yeah, overall, decent result. Aston Villa, they just need a – they haven't been getting good results of late. Mm-hmm. Decent result for Newcastle, but more of a difficult one there for Aston Villa.
Yeah, that was the only game on Friday, March 12th. We're going to move on to Saturday, March 13th. There was four games on Saturday. First one was Leeds-Chelsea. If you look at this one, there was no goals. It ended 0-0. It's another clean sheet for Chelsea. That's what you can pull out of that. And for Leeds, you're getting a point against a team that's been phenomenal as of late. So both teams can pull something pretty good out of this one.
Yeah, for Chelsea, it's a draw. It's not what they would have hoped for in this match against Leeds. Leeds is obviously an underrated side and a difficult one. And for Chelsea, this just means that they continue their unbeaten run with Thomas Tuchel. They have yet to lose a game. You know, knock on wood. Hopefully that continues. It'd be great to see them go the rest of the season without losing any points.
Mm-hmm. That'd be ridiculous if a manager can come in and impact your team that much. It's pretty crazy, which is what it's looking like to be right now. We're going to move on to the next game, Crystal Palace-West Brom. This one ended 1-0 Crystal Palace. And Luka Milivojevic. I would never have gotten that at all. He scored from the penalty spot in the 37th minute, and that was the only goal in this one. A nice little penalty kick, and that's it.
Yeah, he's a good set piece specialist for them. He usually takes their free kicks, and he also takes a lot of their penalty shots. So, huge win for Palace. Difficult loss for West Brom. Only losing 1-0. You're in it the whole time, mm-hmm. and they've been doing good of late. They've been scrapping out some wins, and they've been the unlikely winners in their last couple of games. But just overall, a very, very tough loss for West Brom fans.
The third game on Saturday was Everton versus Burnley.
This was a shocker. This was a little bit of a shocker.
Yeah, I would say. You got Chris Wood. He comes out in the 13th minute. He puts Burnley up 1-0. And then 9 minutes later, Dwight McNeil, he scores to put Burnley up by 2. And at this point, if you're an Everton fan,
that was a banger too.
It was.
That was an absolute like crazy world class goal. That was nuts. Absolutely nuts.
And then Everton fans, you know, you got DCL. He comes. He scores in the 32nd minute, and you get all excited. But Everton never did find an equalizer in the rest of this one, and it ended 2-1 for Burnley.
Yeah, massive result for Burnley. Tough result for Everton fans. You would have thought that they'd be able to get back into this one. I thought they would have. But overall, a great team effort from Burnley to really secure a difficult 3 points here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think, as we said at the beginning, I don't think this is anything that Burnley came in expecting to pull 3 points out of this one. I think they would have been happy with a draw. But the extra 2 points, good for them. The last game on Saturday, March 13th, was Fulham versus Man City. I think this was an expected one for City. They won 3-0. John Stones scored in the 47th. Gabriel Jesus scored in the 56th. And then Aguero scored 4 minutes after from the penalty spot. 3-0. Exactly what you want from City. Zero goals against, 3 goals for. Keeping a clean sheet. And what else can you ask for from Pep's side?
Can't ask for much more. It's just a great result. 3-0 against Fulham is a great result. And it's very nice to see Aguero back into the squad, score. You know, it was a penalty spot kick, but nonetheless, it's still a goal for Aguero, and I'm glad to see him get back on the score sheet.
One thing I want to ask you about quickly, he's been heavily linked with Barca right now. I know I'm repping my Barca kid. I got Ansu Fati on the back of him because goated youngster. You know how I love my youngsters. How do you feel about that? Do you think Barca, I know Barca need a number nine, but would he fit being his age and they just got rid of Luis Suarez? I know I don't want to dive too much into Barcelona situation, but would Aguero be a fit there?
To answer your question, Daniel, I think it's stupidity if they were to let Luis Suarez go like they did and then sign Aguero, because they're practically the same age. They bring to the table that same type of style up front. And I don't know. I think it'd be a decent fit for Aguero to go. He'd be, if Messi stays, if Messi's linked to leave, like we've heard so much in the news, what's the point of going? You know, I think that'd be the only drawing point for Aguero to go play with his close friend Messi. But I don't know. It really made me angry that they dealt with Suarez in that way and they let him go. They still could have used him. He's still a world-class striker. He's tapered off a bit late as he's gotten older, right? He doesn't have that pace and velocity he used to have, but he's still a dangerous finisher in front of goal, and you could use that on a Barcelona side. And they let him go. It's pathetic. The board's been pathetic there. That team's a disaster right now. And if I'm Aguero, I wouldn't want anything to do with Barcelona, even if Messi is there.
I think you said it perfectly. I think that whole situation in Barcelona is a disaster right now. As much as I adore Messi and the youngsters coming out of the team, they'll be good in the next couple of years. But the way that they're dealing with players right now is sad to see. I don't think Aguero, 36, I believe, just starting to play again now for City. Hasn't played very much over the last year because of injury problems and just coming off the bench and stuff like that. I don't know if it's a good fit, to be honest with you.
Daniel, that team needs a reset. Aguero's not 36, by the way. He's 32, just to fact check
32,
that.
Okay. My bad. I said 36. A little bit younger than I thought.
You're good. And then Luis Suarez, I think he's around the same age. So
I think Suarez is 34.
Is he? Oh, he's 34. He's 34. So he's 2 years older. But that team needs a reset. They need a rebuild. I think it's time for Messi to go. They have to let go of Messi. He needs a new start somewhere else, somewhere fresh, and it'd be cool to see him play somewhere else other than that Barcelona system. And it's just an end of an era. It's sad to say, but this is what happens in life. This is what happens with football, especially with football dynasties. They have to come to an end. But you got some exciting talents there, man, like Pedri down the middle of the park. He's going to be a great player for them. Trincão just came in. He's going to be a very, very talented winger for them. There's just loads of young talent there. And Fati's another one. So there's some pieces there, and there's some, you know, Ricky Puig, another one. Like,
their team is going to be amazing.
That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to be really crappy for a couple of years, especially if Messi leaves, and then they'll start coming into form and buying some other pieces. Obviously, you have De Jong there in the middle of the park. He's still very, very young. So there's hope for Barcelona fans in the future. I just think they're going to be in a lull for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. We're going to move on to Sunday, March 14th. I cannot say March today. I don't know what's wrong with me. We got five games on Sunday. The first one was Southampton versus Brighton. This one ended Brighton 2, Southampton 1. Brighton came out with 3 points in this one, which I think was a little bit unexpected. You got Lewis Dunk. He scored in the 16th minute for Brighton. And then Che Adams equalized 11 minutes later in the 27th minute. And then Trossard, he scored the winner in the 56th minute. And Brighton come up with 3 points against a tough opponent like Southampton.
Daniel, it's, I don't know. It's, I don't know if it was expected for Southampton to win this game, because they've been absolutely terrible. Like, their last five games, they have four losses. They've been doing poorly, and it's been ever since that Manchester United thrashing. They've been tapering off like this and heading downward, not in an upward fashion. So I don't think it's that surprising for me. I think Brighton, you know, they're hit or miss too, but they've been getting their wins here and there, and it sucks if you're a Southampton fan right now. Like, it's just a terrible situation. They just keep losing. So great on Brighton to, you know, separate themselves from the gap in terms of points, because they're only 3 points off the drop, but they get a crucial win here.
I think Southampton's been really weird this year. You know, they were in first for a couple match days.
They started phenomenally this season, and then but this is what happens in a Premier League season, Daniel. The table shifts so much. That's what makes the league so exciting. And these teams, like, we even saw Everton in first place at one point. Like, West Ham's up there this year. Like, it's insane the way the tables moved around. I've never ever seen the table move around this much. We see Tottenham sitting outside the top six. We see Arsenal outside the top six. Chelsea was outside the top six. Now they're back in. Like, this is by far one of the most exciting tables I've ever seen. You know, obviously the one and two spot are, there's no competition there. I think Manchester City, it's obvious and clear to say that they've won the league this year. That's what I'm going to come on and say it already. But beyond that, the table has shifted so much. It's shifted from the top 10, and then to the bottom 10. There's been moving around, constant shifting. So a super exciting season in terms of the teams fighting for their positions.
We're going to move to the next game here. On Sunday, we got Leicester City versus Sheffield. An absolute goal fest this was for Leicester. If you're Sheffield, you're shying away from this talk right now. Iheanacho, I know we discussed him last week with our guest Peter Fusco.
He's been balling right now. Like,
he has been, because even Peter was like, yeah, like, I love to see Iheanacho, you know, ex-City fan, on the goal sheet. He comes into this one, he gets a hat trick. Lovely to see from Iheanacho. He played fantastic in this one. And then Ayoze Perez, he's got on the score sheet as well in the 64th. And then Ethan Ampadu, he scored an own goal in the 80th minute. And that, the game was done by then anyway, so it didn't really matter. 5-0 Leicester, and that was the end of that one.
Yeah, huge victory for Leicester fans. I'm so happy to see Iheanacho, you know, back on the goal tally. He's been phenomenal of late, very consistent. He's been an absolute goal poacher up front for Leicester. And he's been taking some of the weight off of Jamie Vardy's shoulders, and rightfully so, because Jamie does a lot for this team. And there's going to be games when he's not going to score and he's going to be a little bit less involved. And that's where a guy like Iheanacho, target man, big body up front, can really, he's got a great technical ability too. I don't think people will give him credit for that as well. He's very good at hold up play. So definitely a good piece there for Brendan Rodgers to have in his team.
We move on to North London Derby here. We got Arsenal versus Tottenham. This one ended in Arsenal 2, Tottenham 1, and I saw 3 points for Arsenal.
Is that goal? Just before we start, is that goal Puskas worthy, Lamella? Because Lamella scored in this one. Is that Puskas worthy?
Okay. For me, I'm going to say no. It was an absolute world class goal, though.
One of the goals of the season, for sure.
It's going to be up there for the contender for goal of the season. It was amazing. We'll get to it, though. So we're going to start it off. This one started weird. You know, Son coming off injured in the 19th minute. Everybody's like, oh no. Son's not one of those players, especially on this Tottenham team, where Son and Kane feed off each other so well. None of them want to get, you don't want any of them getting injured. Son gets injured, and on comes Lamella. You're expecting way less talent, obviously, than Son. But then he comes in the 33rd minute, and he scores an absolute world-class Rabona just inside the box. I believe it went through Saka's legs, just to the right of David Luiz, tucked right into the bottom right corner. It was a fantastic finish. It was like so creative, the fact that he turned his body the way he did. It was, I don't think Puskas worthy, but I think goal of the season.
Yeah, that was like, he's done it before too. I remember in the Europa League, I think he did it. He scored an absolute fantastic Rabona. So he's known for doing these things. He's very crafty in those tight situations. He's definitely one of those players you'd like to have come off the bench. I wouldn't prefer to have him on my starting like 11. But he's a tremendous player to come off the bench and give you that spark. And he did his job here, getting on the goal sheet for the Spurs.
Continuing in this one, we got Martin Odegaard. He scored to tie it in the 44th minute for Arsenal. And then we got a tie game heading into the second half. Arsenal's awarded a penalty. Lacazette sets up and slots it home in the 64th minute. And that was the end of goals in this one. That one ended like that, 2-1. But Lamella did get a second yellow in the 76th minute to put Tottenham down to 10 men, leaving very little chance for them to come back against this Arsenal team.
Yeah, Arsenal secured the victory in this one, but they're still 4 points behind Tottenham. Tottenham's currently sitting in 8th place, and then Aston Villa's in 9th, and then obviously Arsenal's in 10th. It's a huge win to catch up, but I don't know if Arsenal's going to be able to surpass them in the coming games. I think Tottenham, they need to wake up, and I think they will. Hopefully sooner rather than later, for Mourinho's sake and for the fans' sake. They got some big games ahead of them coming later in the next month. So they really need to wake up. It's a disastrous loss, especially against a rival. Both teams really needed this win. At the end of the day, they're both in shambles this year. Both way below par. So massive for Arsenal fans, and just hopefully they can continue in this form, right?
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with both these teams right now. I know they're expected to finish, go out and finish top five, top six, because they're both considered world-class teams, but they haven't been performing at all this year.
Like, Daniel, to be honest with you, like, when I saw the LaMelo goal, I thought, like, I thought Tottenham had it in the bag, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't think Arsenal had it in them to really overturn that goal and go out and win the game, and they did. Credit to them. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to give credit where credit's due. We're gonna move on to the last game on Sunday, March 14th. We got Manchester United versus West Ham. This one, simple 1-0 game for Manchester United. Big 3 points against a West Ham team that's been playing phenomenal this year. The only goal came from a Craig Dawson own goal in the 53rd minute. I just want to shout one person out right here. I know we banter him a lot. Harry Maguire actually played fantastic. He was ridiculous in the back. Obviously, okay, West Ham, they have Antonio, who's probably their main threat going forward. Yeah. He marked them really well. I think he played fantastic. I just wanted to shout him out for all the banter we give him. Give him one time. Give him credit where credit's due.
Yeah, this was a tough game for both sides. They're both very competitive this year. West Ham's been amazing, to say the least. You know, they've really performed exceeding expectations, and it's a tough loss for West Ham. They really want to stay in the race for that top six, top five. So yeah, massive result for Man United. It was weird that it came by an own goal, but nonetheless, a win is a win. 3 points is 3 points, and it was a massive 3 points for either side. Whoever won this day, and on this day was Manchester United.
We move on to Monday, March 15th. Just one goal in this one. One game on this one. Wolves-Liverpool. Liverpool took this one 1-0, which was big for Liverpool because they desperately needed the 3 points. And ex-Wolves man, Diogo Jota, he comes in and he scores the only goal in this one in the 45th minute, which was a nice goal and the only goal. And then the other talking point is Rui Patricio, his injury, which was
horrific
brutal.
Injury. Yeah, horrific it was injury. I watched that live, and to see it was very scary. And it's the second injury of that nature that Wolves have experienced this year. Obviously, the first one being Jimenez, and you don't like to see any head injuries like that. Mm-hmm. And it was so awkward and unlucky the way it happened. They were attacking the box, Liverpool, Connor Cody's, you know, trying to stop himself and slow himself. And then Patricio dives for the ball, but as he dives for the ball, Connor Cody tries to step over him and he hits him with the knee. And that's a very, you know, hard part of your body. And for that to go at a, you know, a good pace at your head, it's going to do some damage. And it knocked him out cold. And it was super sad to see. I read a report though. The coach came out and said he was aware of you know, what happened, and he could remember what happened, and he was aware at the hospital. So that's definitely good news. And we hopefully we'll see him back soon on the pitch, Rui P, because I really love him as a Portugal fan. He did a lot for that Euro 2016 team. I believe, in my opinion, it was a toss up. Pep was amazing in that final, but so was Rui Patricio. So, just a great talent, and want to see him back on the pitch.
Yeah, we hope for a speedy recovery because, like you said, nobody wants to see those head injuries. It's second head injury. Wolves have suffered an awful, terrible head injuries this year. I want to move on to a lighter note. We got a nice little Champions League recap.
This was the clean sweep here. This is why we called it a clean sweep. Daniel, I just want to get this point in. All UCL teams from England made it to the next round, clean sweep, meaning no goals allowed. So that's a pretty impressive stat line from all the Premier League clubs to advance and not concede any goals.
Mm-hmm. So I know Liverpool-Leipzig was last week. We quickly discussed it with Peter on. Just reiterating it again, it was a 4-0 aggregate. Liverpool won 2-0 and 2-0. This is complete domination from Liverpool. I really don't think Leipzig ever had a chance. And I think they were expected by everyone who, even though Liverpool is having not a great season in England, I think they were expected to go through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, for Liverpool, this will help save their season. This is a miracle if they win the UCL, in my opinion, this year, because I think the defense is just going to be that we always talk about. That's been the narrative this year for Liverpool. But if they were to secure a UCL this year, for the second time in 3 years, that'd be incredible for the team. And I think it honestly save what has been a very miserable season.
Mm-hmm. The second set of games that we're going to look at is Manchester City versus Mönchengladbach. I again, my name pronunciation is brutal. This was a 4-0 aggregate win, exactly like Liverpool. Leipzig, it was 2-0. This is basically a mirror image of the Liverpool game. It was complete domination from City. I don't think Mönchengladbach ever had a chance. And exactly like Liverpool, they were expected to go through to the quarterfinals because they've been absolutely fantastic in England.
Yeah, Manchester City did their job against Gladbach. There's really no chance for them. And that came down to a very organized team on the pitch, and they really controlled possession. And they looked, you know, superior in all moments. And that's why they really breezed through this round. And whoever's, you know, the draw is happening tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be drawn against Manchester City. I could tell you that. That's the last team you want to be paired against. So. Mm-hmm.
The third set of games we're going to look at is Chelsea Atletico. This is the last one.
Come on, you Blues.
This was, I think, the only set of games where the other team that's not from the Premier League actually had a chance, because Atletico is in first place in their domestic league in Spain. They were fantastic. I know, obviously, within the last month, they've lost form. Andrew, I know you want to talk about this one. Go nuts.
Yeah, Daniel, massive, massive result for the Blues. Mm-hmm. Just to say that to start. But we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I don't know who's going to go through. It was literally a toss-up. Mm-hmm. And that's because Atletico in the league has been really dominant. They've been really dominant. And that's because, obviously, Barcelona's been poor. Real Madrid's been inconsistent. But, you know, give credit where it's due, like you said, Reddy. And Atletico's been playing really well domestically. But in these last two legs against Chelsea, I don't know if it was the organization from Chelsea, but they were not able to break down that system, and they really were dull going forward, to say the least. You know, like they weren't exciting going forward, and they never looked really dangerous in the way that Chelsea did. And on this day, Ziyech, he was able to Hakim the dream. You know, he was able to squeeze one past Jan Oblak. It was like a chicken goal, man. It was bad. Like, he could have saved it. Like, Jan could have saved it. And then the icing on the cake was in the dying stages of the game. Chelsea counterattacked because Atletico is trying to throw men forward, you know. And Emerson, the fullback, he was able to score a nice low-driven goal past Jan Oblak. Lovely finish from a fullback. And it was just the icing on the cake. And it was amazing to see they cut right to the shot of the reserves, like the stands. And it was Thiago Silva going absolutely nuts, along with Mason Mount and Jorginho. They're all out due to injury, but it was incredible to see. And it just shows you how much it means to the guys on this team, and how, you know, important wins like this are for the morale of the squad. So amazing scenes there. And I just want to also, I didn't like it. It was a moment in the match when Savage, the center half from Montenegro and Atletico, he received his second yellow. And it was for a scuffle in the box. He threw like it wasn't even an L. He put his arm back like that. Like he just put his arm back and hit Rudiger in the center of his chest. And it wasn't like he went full force. It was just like he you know, he gave him like a decent tap, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Rudiger goes down, like he's flailing his body down. You know, it ended up getting the red card for, so it was good for Chelsea and it helped in that regard. But, I don't know. I didn't like it too much. And then after he was kind of instigating the play, after with just chirping with the Atletico players. But, you know, I'll give credit to Rudiger in terms of his play for this game. He really was a key player for Chelsea in that three back, and he was able to really shut down the attacking plays for Atletico, whether it was João Félix or Luis Suarez. So he did a tremendous job. Next week, we got a good episode in store. There's one burning question that we're going to answer, and it has to do with the All-Star game that happens in the NBA and North American sports. And we just want to talk about, is there potential for that in England? Is there potential for an All-Star game in England? And then the other thing, we're going to introduce a new segment. We're just joking about it, but we're actually going to do it. So Daniel's going to get a bunch of like players, not the most obvious ones, but I'm going to have to guess their nationality. So it'll be a cool little segment to test my knowledge. And yeah, it'll be fun.
That's it. We hope you guys enjoyed another episode on the podcast. We enjoyed giving it to you guys. And like we said, go hit us up on Instagram. No matter if you listen on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, even on our Buzzsprout page, wherever you guys listen, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate all the love. And until next time, see you guys. This is it for this episode of Premier Talk, episode 7. Take care, guys.
See you later.
Peace.